You're listening to PorchDrinking.com's The Porchcast, brought to you by OnTap Credit Union. They listen carefully to your needs and make sure you have the right services, low-cost loans, and expert financial advice for you, your business, and your employees. Whatever your needs may be, tap into the services at OnTap Credit Union. And now, The Porchcast.
All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 66 of The Porchcast. We are broadcasting today from River North Brewery's Rhino location. We're going to get into that a little bit later because they're part of the big year in beer that we're going to be going over here. This is our year-end recap, and I'm excited to be joined by two of my co-hosts, Sammy Hartman and Hunter Grondin. How's it going, you guys?
Holla.
Holla. Everything's great.
They're Merry back. Christmas. We're here to close out the year in a big way. They're going to be sharing some of their thoughts from this year in beer. We're also joined by Shawnee Adelson, the new president of the Colorado Brewers Guild.
Hey, Tristan.
How's it going? And Tracy Wilcox from OnTap Credit Union. Tracy, how's it going?
Great. Cheers, everyone.
And we're going to get into this full kind of crew. We've got a full crew today. Very excited to speak with everybody. But we're going to dive right into it because this is our end of year edition of the Porchcast. And I want to go through some of the big trends, some of our favorite beers, biggest events, news stories. We're going to touch on all of that here in just a second. Before we do, just a reminder to all of our listeners, if you haven't done so already, be sure to join us on Stitcher Podcast, iTunes, whatever you're listening to. Be sure to follow us on your listening devices so that you can listen to more great episodes as we enter 2020. All right, we're going to get into it first. Our top beers from the year. I'm going to go through as a round table and ask all of you guys. I want some of your all's input, but let's start off with Sammy. Sammy, what was a beer that really caught your attention in 2019. It doesn't have to be one that debuted this year, but perhaps one that stood out to you the most.
So I don't know if it's necessarily the best beer that I've had this year, but it's certainly freshest in my mind. I was up in Carbondale a couple of weeks ago at a great little pizza place, and they had 1554 on draft. And it's probably been 6 or 7 years since I've had a 1554 by New Belgium, and my mind was blown. And I've had like 10 of them since. Like every single time I see it, it's like, no, that's what I want. I definitely want that just like nice, subtle roastiness paired with a light body, crisp, delicious. It's great for this weather right now. Yeah. I think that if I think about a beer that I want, that's why I'm drinking this black IPA right now. It's like, that's what I want at this moment.
So Sammy's been getting into Japanese beers.
Japanese
1995
beers.
1995 was a really good year.
Okay, stop it.
1995 was awesome.
I knew that I'd get roasted for this.
I was seven.
I knew.
Crushing it. I was always picked first in the playground, and 1554 came out.
I would get roasted. Okay, what's yours?
Ooh, I'm going to go back to 1610 with a German Pilsner from Upslope. I don't know, it was debuted this year, especially release they did, and I don't know. It's kind of the year of the lager for me, yeah. I would say.
I feel like it's been the year of the lager.
Yeah, and I really liked Upslope's German Pilsner. I was actually shocked that they announced it as a limited kind of seasonal summertime release, and I thought it was one of the best Pilsners I've had from the United States, American made, ever.
Do you know if they're bringing it back?
I don't. I'd have to call Upslope and ask him.
It'll be interesting because of Upslope's, you know, Upslope has cornered the market in terms of their craft lager.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to put Pilsner right up next to it, I really hope that they bring it back and make it more of a regularly available beer.
It was good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Shawnee, I know you've been around the state a lot. What, any breweries that have caught your eye in terms of best beer for 2019?
I can't answer that because they're all my children. I love all their beer.
Favorites.
I don't pick favorites, but I've had a lot of great beers over the year.
All right.
What about style? Style for the year?
Style for the year. I would say I'm going on the lager train as well.
Oh.
That hoppy lager, an IPL, has definitely been hitting the spot for me lately. And going back to the black IPA, that's actually a style that I've loved, and I've seen a small resurrection over the last year of that style, and that made me happy.
I'm with it.
Yeah. I feel like we should do like a style of the year similar to like Pantone's color of the year, you know? And every year we should be like, this is the year of lager, or this is the year of Schwartz beer. It's never going to be the year of Schwartz beer, but you know, I think it should be
never.
What I meant was smoke beers.
Oh, yeah. Rausch beers.
Never going to be the year of Rausch beers.
No.
But I think we should be the first publication that comes out with the style of the year, and that's going to be the theme for this year. True Blue, I think, is like, or was it the original blue is Pantone for 2020?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. I can't remember. Tracy, what about you? Have you had any standout beers?
I have had a standout beer. It was at the Great American Beer Fest where I came across 105 West Brewing, D's Nuts.
All right, this podcast has already been worth it. Just to hear Tracy say D's Nuts. is that a brown ale?
It is a brown ale.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Delicious.
Yeah. I've heard really great things about D's Nuts.
I think it has peanut butter in it.
Yes, I feel like I'm in that sweaty balls. Skit from SNL.
Can't do it.
can't do it. All right, well, my favorite beer of the year, in following the theme of lagers being kind of the predominant style for the past year, was Tettnanger Special from Bierstadt Lagerhaus. You know, we got a little flack last year during our year-end recap piece, an article. Bill gave me a little shit for it, but for overlooking some of our, you know, local breweries. But, you know, to be honest, he made a great point. And, you know, just because Bierstadt has been known for producing, you know, these classic styles that, you know, oftentimes we can't speak enough about how great their slow pour pils is, and it's something that we maybe take for granted a little bit. But this year I was very intentional, and not just trying Bierstadt more intentionally, but also trying some other breweries that have been around for, you know, a couple of years now that maybe we forget about. And so it was really refreshing, and it wasn't because of his feedback in particular, but when I tried Tettnanger Special, essentially kind of like an IPL in a sense, but they use these Tettnanger hops as a collaboration. It was one of the most crisp and refreshing beers that I've ever had, and it blew my mind. So that was my standout for the year, and I hope they bring it back in 2020. Let's move right along to favorite standout non-Colorado beers. If anybody has any that they want to chime in on, I'm going to start it out by saying my trip to Chicago recently, I got a chance to try Maplewood Brewing's Coconut Cinnamon Barrel-Aged Cuppa. And I know that adjunct barrel-aged stouts have become kind of a little bit overkill. This was probably the most balanced in terms of utilizing an adjunct that, like coconut and cinnamon, two adjuncts that oftentimes overpower and overwhelm, just played in with such balance and really blew my mind. So Maplewood Brewing out of Chicago, that was very impressive. But let's turn it over to Sammy. What you got?
I have had the opportunity over the last year. The guys at Mr. B's do a really good job. Scott, for whatever reason, and I are kindred spirits in that we both have some sort of affinity to Bellwoods.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Toronto.
Yeah.
And so during Shelton Brothers and JBF, he brought in a ton of bottles, beers that, like, you will never see. And so I had the opportunity to try Farmageddon, which is a wild sour ale that was a beer that I never wanted to end. It was, like, without a doubt, the best beer that I've had this year. Just perfect. It was perfect. And now I want to go to Toronto.
That's the one frontier that I really haven't, I guess, I need to add that to my bucket list for 2020 of like new beers resolutions, is to get more into international beers, because, you know, I've definitely gotten more into German styles, of course, over the years, you know, Belgians, but outside of like Belgian, Czech, and Germany, like the European vanguards, I really haven't gotten a chance to delve into like Canadian beers and even like Asian beers. I mean, that's starting to really come.
And South American beers too.
Yeah, and that's absolutely something that
you guys got to catch up.
Okay.
Ooh. I drink about 2 Canadian beers a day.
Yeah. Labatt Blue.
The Blues? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Blue River runs full at my house. Actually, I named my garage Castle Blue.
I can attest to it.
Yes. Shawnee has been to Castle Blue. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had a Labatt Blue.
It's shitty. Yeah. But in like the best way. I don't know. I jumped on the Midwestern, the Michigan bandwagon last year.
Where does it fall like in a High Life like flavor? Is it sweeter?
There's more flavor.
Okay. Oh,
there is more
okay.
flavor. It is also a little bit more sweeter, but there is more flavor for sure. There's more body.
It's funny. It's funny we bring this up. I think so. Shawnee, when I first got to know Shawnee early on, she actually did a bunch of these blind tastings by style. So she would pick like, you know, the best stouts and like do a blind tasting of stouts. I think
don't tell me.
I think we need to do a blind tasting of shitty light lagers.
I have a list already.
Yes.
Okay, I'm in. Well, I'm
you
in.
You can do it. I'm in.
100% in.
That's gonna be a 2020.
We gotta figure out like a fair temperature though, because sometimes like extra gold, amazing when it's freezing.
With ice cold.
It's when you can't taste it.
All of them.
Pretty much, I know. So we have to choose a fair temperature.
Yeah. So this is what we're doing. We're teasing our 2020 episode here. That is date has not been released, but January. We're going to be doing a 2020 light lagers blind tasting here on the Porchcast. Be on the lookout. It's going to be awesome. Tracy, any standouts outside of Colorado that you can think of?
Outside of Colorado.
Yeah, Shawnee?
Since they're not all my children, I can have some standouts, but
yes.
I would say I'm the type of person that when I find a beer, I drink it a lot and often, and the Stone Tropic of Thunder
going down that water. Very good. Yeah.
Totally. That is delicious. Really and cool. If you haven't tried it, I would recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I did want to chime in on one more. And this is kind of like bragging. But I did, I had Augustiner Dunkel in Munich this year, and it was.
That is bragging.
Super, super delicious. I just wanted to throw that in there that, you know, if you come across, you know, a nice German lager at any of your favorite bars, give it a go.
Yeah
Hunter, I don't think we've actually had a chance to recap your trip to Germany for Oktoberfest this year, so mm-hmm. I think along the way,
not much to recap.
You'll definitely have to.
I don't remember it. Just kidding.
You'll have to drop some more.
I remember
more
when the light. I remember when the sun was up.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, moving right along. Favorite new brewery from 2019. I'm going to open this one up. It doesn't just have to be Colorado. If you had one that was a non-Colorado one, you can include that. But I've got a couple Colorado favorites. Sammy, you want to kick things off for us?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like my short-term memory is pretty bad in that I don't know if I even visited a new... I mean, I've been going to Novel Strand a lot because my brother lives down there. And it's been just a delightful experience every single time. And, you know, we talked to Tamir months and months and months ago.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're not new. I guess they're over a year old or 2 years old now.
Just over a year old. Okay. But still qualifies.
Then you know what? Then I'll count that then. Yeah. It's just a great environment. I love that coffee beer combo.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, that's my choice.
Any new favorites from you all down the line?
Yeah, sure. I love Flight Co.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we were over there at a brewery partners event, and we were sharing each other's beers all night long. So I just love the atmosphere there.
It's such a cool story of former pilots, or actually still current pilots. Yeah. And they did a really cool, we had an article on the website earlier this year about their fresh hop beer that they brewed in collaboration with Brews Beers, mm-hmm. where they they actually piloted their own single engine plane out to Paonia and picked hops and then made it back by noon to throw them into the boils.
So cool. That is a story.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
For me, I think my standout was Knotted Root up in Nederland. I'm generally not on the hazy IPA train, but the beers that I had from them were absolutely fantastic, and they're generally more, you know, to start things off this year, they've been really strong with all of their hazies, and we'll get to this later in terms of some of this was one of my standout beers. Perpetually Unimpressed is the name of the beer, and it was a double IPA, double hazy IPA, and that was absolutely fantastic. Really impressed by the folks up at Knotted Root. They even have a Pilsner that was really great too. So Really pumped for those guys. A few others that stood out. Peak View out in Greenwood Village. That might be one of the sleeper picks that maybe most people haven't been to yet. But out in that DTC area, they're making some really, really killer beers. And not really prescribing to a specific style per se. So a very wide range. Hunter, any for you?
Back over to Tennyson. I went to Emporium, which is around the time of that Flightco opened, I think.
Yeah,
and I usually am a fairly big regular at Cold Arms. Love those guys. And I went over to Emporium probably 2 months after they opened and was actually pleasantly surprised at how well-rounded everything was.
Yeah.
The whole lineup was actually consistently really nice, and they probably had 8 or more styles on. And everything I tried did a full flight.
That's hard to do for
it. Is really hard. Yeah, they didn't have like a niche there. It was basically, they just kind of fit every general style in of craft beer. And I actually was pleasantly pleased with everything on there.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard really great things about both Emporium and I've been to Flightco as well. Emporium's one that I've got to get to before I actually write our end of year post because of all the positive feedback that I've gotten from people. So I'll very excited to visit them.
The brewer at Emporium came from Rockyard.
Oh, cool.
And, he won their JBF medal for Pilsner, mm-hmm. which is pretty impressive to be able to do. So
yeah.
I think he comes from a place of good experience.
That was World Beer Cup.
All right, now on to some of the breweries that are making the biggest waves. And when we talk about this, I feel like it's very difficult to pinpoint just one specific kind of growth measure, but in terms of what I generally like to say is in terms of both growth, buzz, overall success, big time releases, medals won. What is one brewery that has really just kicked butt this year? I guess in a sense, any standouts for you all?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we were talking before, about Westbound Down. I think that's a huge explosion this year, mm-hmm. without a doubt. I think that even Comrade too, has been steadily, and now again is back in the headlines.
Yep.
And so we'll see what that's gonna look like next year. That New Image Station 26 situation, I think, is kind of exciting.
Them partnering up for distribution,
mm-hmm. I think, is exciting. I think that maybe that will allow New Image to be, a little bit more visible in the market. Lots of shakeups for sure this year.
Yeah. I think you made a really great point about both Comrade and Westbound and Down. Both of them had really, really strong years at the Great American Beer Festival. And, I think both of those, Comrade has been just killing it for years, which is great to see them finally get the recognition in such a big way. They've won a couple medals already, but for Westbound and Down, I think they were my prediction from last year to have a big year this year for the breakout brewery of the year. And it was partially because we were expecting them to open their Denver location this year. That's been pushed back to 2020. So I think they're going to only continue to grow next year. So
mm-hmm. very another brewery, Quiet Feet. Probably overlooked, PortsDrinking.com, this here podcast, also did an article on them, and that's Cannonball Creek. And Cannonball Creek has won a medal every year since opening, which I think is probably the most impressive.
I got to tip my hat to Shawnee, who actually alerted me to that. So she's been...
Which I think is totally badass.
She's been watching their successes over the years, and she kind of pointed out that they've been just absolutely on fire.
Yeah, just rock solid.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they make consistently solid beers that are approachable and people in the industry respect.
And a golden strip mall with beautiful setting.
But speaking of golden, I would say another brewery out there that's making waves would be Holladaily.
Huge year for Holladaily, for sure.
A big year. I mean, they've been trying to get a JBF medal for years. They were able to get one this year, and the growth that they're experiencing, especially with more distribution out there, They've had a great year.
Yeah. And they just brought on their new production facility. And I know on Tap Credit Union, you guys helped out with some of the financing there, right?
We did. We are so proud of Karen and all the staff at Holladaily. So cheers to all of them and all their hard work. Karen is just a mover and a shaker, and she doesn't give up. She goes after what she wants and delivers. So great beer,
great
staff,
And if you haven't listened to our Porchcast with Karen, you should definitely give that a listen. Really cool story. She's like Wonder Woman. She like defeated cancer and you know, scaled or survived an avalanche. it literally is just the most remarkable story. So we're really pumped for them. Let's talk about maybe any breweries that were a surprise in 2019. And I don't mean this in a negative way. It might just be a brewery that maybe wasn't on your radar prior, and maybe you discovered them in this year. Anybody have any surprises?
Chirp, chirp.
I'll jump in here with this one. This is one that I think, you know, we talked about it a little bit on the website during the Avery Invitational, but for me, Mash Labs up in Windsor was probably the biggest surprise of the year. They've been around for a couple years. They've been a little bit under the radar. They recently hired on the brewer from City Star, and they've been producing some really incredible stuff, including Crispy Boy, which is their Pilsner, and Drive By Night, which is their barrel-aged stout. Both of those were really, really phenomenal. I've had a lot of beers from them in general, and all of them have been outstanding.
Do they do a peanut butter porter? I've had that, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those styles, but it is pretty good.
Sure. And the cool thing about them, if you ever get a chance to get up to Windsor, is that they're based out of a auto body repair shop for hot rods. They kind of fix up and remodel these gorgeous hot rods. And I'm not a huge my only extent in knowledge of hot rods is from watching Home Improvement back in the day with Tim and Tool Man Taylor. But you know, to see their tap room actually has windows into their repair shop, and it's just really cool to see these amazing cars just being refurbished and whatnot. But really cool project going on in Windsor.
Hey, that's a pretty big attraction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come in and check that out.
Yeah,
for sure.
Now it's been a big year of news for Colorado, and really underscored by one particular big piece of news that happened towards the end of the year. Aside from New Belgium's acquisition, which is still currently pending, what were some of your all's biggest news stories that stood out from the past year?
I mean, that whole saga with Boulder Beer Company. Yeah, with Boulder Beer Company is still, it seems like now it's finally reached a resolution, mm-hmm. but that, I mean.
For those who aren't familiar, Boulder Beer announced that they were going to end distribution, and Boulder Beer is one of the oldest breweries in Colorado. To see them end distribution was kind of a huge changing of the guard. But then recently, they just announced that they were going to kind of re-up things by signing with Sleeping Giant, contract brewery.
Yeah, which, I mean, could be great. Yeah.
Facelift?
Yeah, facelift.
Yeah, absolutely. Hunter, what about you? Any big stories that really caught your eye?
It's funny. All the big stories all tell me one thing, and that's how crazy the craft brew market is.
Sure.
And all these big, large breweries that have hit this ceiling or going negative, not because their beer is poor, just because of the amount of breweries that have opened up in the last few years, and the local breweries especially. You can't look away from it. You know, people are looking to go more smaller and smaller with their purchasing, or new all the time. I think another big one too is that people, you can't forget about what seltzers have done to the market.
Totally.
As well, and
yeah.
Has pulled away a lot of, you know, that's actually, that's like the entire, like, you know, that's wine,
beverage,
spirits,
yeah.
Everything. But yeah, I guess what's crazy is even with Dogfish Head merging as well, or being, you know, acquired by
Sam Adams
and Boston Beer Company. Yeah, I think there's the writing's on the wall. This is going to continue to, you know, happen even in 2020.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we have Tracy here, and she's been so kind to join us from OnTap Credit Union. We definitely want to bring her in here after the break to talk a little bit more extensively about kind of the breweries changing business plans and you know, scaling and utilizing different means of growth. I think we've seen a lot of that in the past year. You know, Ska announcing that they're opening up a brewstillery in Boulder next year. We're actually broadcasting from River North Brewery, which, you know, over the past 6 years has seen a dramatic shift in, you know, starting out in Ballpark, you know, getting booted out due to rising rent prices, and then opening up their location up in northern Denver, or North Denver, and then now this year announcing that they're finally coming back to Rhino, which is, you know, a really cool return for this neighborhood. And then, but you also have seen a lot of closures along the way. You know, Co-Brew, the home brewing shop and brewery, really sad to see them closing up shop. We love Jamie and the crew over there. And, you know, seeing from Mantra, a tremendous brewery closing at the beginning of the year was also a huge hit to the craft beer scene. You know, closures of Fate Brewing and even the crazy story that came from the seizure of Ironworks earlier this year. You know, you're going to see more of that. Breweries are starting to hit their stride in terms of their rent coming to a point where they either need to re-up or decide that they're going to change things up. And so
a lot of breweries have fallen victim to location as well.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So I think that's going to just continue to perpetuate over the next year as those kind of lease agreements start to reach that point where they have to make those tough decisions. Shawnee, for you, I don't know if you can speak to any specifics, but were there any major trends in terms of the news here in Colorado that you feel like were noteworthy from the past year?
I mean, I think you guys have hit on all of them, and Hunter really hit on it well, is that it's kind of everything's up in the air and everything's fair game these days, and people are trying to survive, and that they're going to do what it takes to make sure that they're successful. And so we're seeing the Boulder beer situation, we're seeing hard seltzer, we're seeing New Belgium, we're seeing all kinds of shakeups and changes in the industry. I think one of the things that was really interesting to me to hear was that actually with full strength beer going into grocery stores, beer sales were up in the first 6 months of the year, and that was bucking trends around the country. So mm-hmm. Colorado was wow. in a unique situation compared to other states in the sense that beer sales were going up versus going down. So we were pretty lucky for that piece, mm-hmm. and I think that's an unhighlighted news story that happened in Colorado this year.
Yeah, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee that tracking like into next year? Or do you think that it's just kind of a burst and then... It's just so hard to tell.
It's hard to tell, but I would say, you know, we look at it and there is that piece of convenience factor where all of a sudden you're buying groceries and you can also buy beer,
yep.
But you can't buy wine or spirits, so people may be
just grabbing beers, yeah.
Well, exactly. I think it definitely helps to have, you know, with the grocery bill passing and local grocery stores carrying local craft beer, mm-hmm. You know, from all sizes. You know, I've been surprised to see some smaller, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 barrel breweries, mm-hmm. or even smaller than that, on grocery store shelves. I don't think that, you know, consumers often would have looked for those breweries on neighborhood liquor store shelves. You had to go to a bottle shop sure. to find something unique.
Sure.
So the fact that these smaller breweries are getting, you know, placements at certain grocery stores definitely, in my opinion, I think definitely helped them. You know, people were just more, I know, gravitated towards choosing something they hadn't tried before because they were already there and weren't used to going to bottle shops. Again, they might have gone to the grocery store or the liquor store next to the grocery store, which carried, you know, your atypical, you know, large brands, the Odell's, New Belgium's, Boston Beer, etc. So I think that helps, in my opinion.
Definitely, and I think, but we're also seeing it kind of sway back the other way in the sense of breweries are now creating brands that are only available in liquor stores.
Yeah.
And that they won't be available in grocery stores to help their liquor store partners
yep.
and make sure that they're successful moving forward with this transition. So
yeah.
we're seeing it both ways, but it was just a very interesting stat that Bart Watson from UBA provided mm-hmm. to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tracy, you've got kind of a closer eye in terms of kind of scaling and growth. Any trends that you all have seen? And I know you probably can't get into too many specifics, sure. but love to hear some of your insight as well.
Well, I love how you highlighted Co-Brew. I was going to do the same thing. Just those leasing agreements, and you're not expecting that. That's not in your plan. You think about it, but the commercial space here in Colorado is just going through the roof, and it's not in your favor. We did a on tap. Ed Flores did a. It was a presentation, Don't Grow Yourself Out of Business, at the summit. And we had a lot of breweries come back and ask for that presentation. It is so true. There's so many things you need to think about. And you wouldn't necessarily think about growing yourself out of business as being one of them. You think that, you know, just grow, 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 grow. And before you know it, you're stuck. And Where's the capital going to come from? Where you where you're going to get that next injection of investment? So I think that there's a lot going on. The consolidation that we see. What I think is most important, if you're a brewery and you have any kind of financing going on, just to stay lockstep with your lender. Yeah. Because if you run into trouble, they're going to be there to help you. But if they don't know that that's going on, it's going to be fair game, and, yeah. and they're just going to be looking out for themselves. So
really great point.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we've got one more topic to hit on before we get to the break. Any big beer events that stood out from 2019? I'm going to start with Hunter over here. I know, Hunter, you've attended a couple of events in your day.
I have. I want to say the Oktoberfest. That was cool and international. local beer events, though. Definitely Hoopbloggers is my second time. I really enjoyed that. It's a fun, very unique beer fest.
Wibby for the Rings.
Wibby's Beer Fest. Yeah, yeah. They nailed it with that one. They do a great job. I can't imagine the planning that goes into that. So Robin Wibby, awesome. All the Wibby crew, yeah. No, it's fun and it's different, and it provides a different dynamic. I think it rained this year, which was kind of a bummer. But no, in general, yeah, that festival the last two times I've been to is one of the most unique fests I've been to that the whole industry also loves.
And I'll echo that for a second, because the attention to detail that they put into that event, mm-hmm. it immediately became my favorite event and one that I told Brittany, my girlfriend, I was like, we've got to go to this again next year. Mm-hmm. The fact that they released, over 1,000 blow-up flamingo koozies into these giant adult swimming pools. They had sand trucked in and lagers from all across the country. I think August Shell made a rare appearance, which was incredible. So really, really strong kudos to the Wibby team. That event is awesome. Mm-hmm. And definitely one that everyone should try to attend at some point.
The other one I was going to throw out there too, again, is Big Beers. And if you haven't been, I just want to say how awesome it is going up to Breckenridge and watching craft beer take over, an entire mountain town. Mm-hmm. I've been a few years now. I know there's lots of people that have been for, close to a decade before it moved. Well, it went from Avon to Breckenridge. And I've only ever been to it when it's in Breckenridge. But it's just so much fun watching, an industry take over a small mountain town. Mm-hmm. From an internet or from a national level, there's breweries from all over the country that show up for that one. It's pretty cool.
And from all ages.
Demographics
from all ages. That was really neat.
Mm-hmm. And this year...
I've shared a condo with Hunter. I can attest. he enjoys it.
Oh, yeah.
He has a great time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We know you had a great time,
Hunter. Awesome time. The whole town knows you had an awesome time.
And this year is actually going to be the 20th anniversary. So big year for Big Beers. Very excited to get up there. I'm sure we're going to have some really cool interviews lined up, because they're bringing all of their featured brewmasters from over the years back for the event, so it should be really, really rad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to say that there's something to be said about just a dialed-in rock star freaking beer event, and I think that the Weldworks Invitational was one of those. I worked it and was blown away how a second-year festival like that could be so dialed.
Oh, yeah.
It was everything from
especially
top to bottom.
Especially in terms of taking care of attendees.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that we were fed two meals, they put us up. It was just an awesome event. Very well attended, but it didn't feel crazed, you know? It was sold out, but it didn't feel sold out, and I love that. Mm-hmm. And then Rabbits and Grass down in Buena Vista. That's another freaking...
Yeah, Sarah and Shane do a fantastic job with that event every year.
That's my marquee. That's the one that I look forward to.
Has like a destination
brewery. A destination festival. Yeah.
It's something to be said about breweries or brewery industry people, though. They get involved with beer festivals. It's nice. It's extra work, but they know.
Totally.
Yeah, you see all the hits and all the misses from doing festivals that are put on by just general event people. I'm not ragging on those. I think there's a lot of good ones out there. But it is nice. You go to the industry festivals and they have it pretty dialed because of the fact that that
they've done it.
Yeah, they've done it.
They know what they love. All right, folks. Well, we're going to take a quick break. This is episode 66 of the Porchcast. When we come back, we'll have more from Shawnee, Tracy, and Sammy. Hunter's going to get out of here. But thanks so much for joining us, Hunter. This is episode 66 of the Porchcast. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do want to say got an El Camino anniversary party tonight, too, if you're looking to party late night.
And that's the Hunter I know and love.
Oh, yeah. That's for you, Brookstein.
All right, hang tight. We'll be back in just a moment. Alrighty, folks, and welcome back to episode 66 of the Porchcast. This is our year-in-review episode, joined by Sammy Hartman, Shawnee Adelson, and Tracy Wilcox. We're going to continue on with our episode and jump right into our interview. Tracy, as CEO of OnTap Credit Union, we'd like to thank you for all of your support over the past couple years. None of this would be possible without the amazing support from our partners like you. And we've been really lucky to be able to have you guys on the show a couple times, and really awesome to have you on for this episode as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Cheers to you and all the work that you do and supporting the industry. Thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate your insight as well, because you definitely have a unique perspective. Now, you all have really done incredible work within the Colorado beer industry, and really kind of some of your partnerships really speak to that. I want to touch first and foremost on a really cool collaboration that you all had with the Pink Boot Society and also with the Colorado Brewers Guild, coincidentally enough.
Absolutely. We started with actually the collab with the Brewers Guild, and just creating a credit card, debit card, the State of Craft beer card, that allows us to be able to give back to the beer industry. Every time somebody opens one of those cards, the cards themselves are great. They really complement the beer enthusiast by low interest rates, fixed fees, or low fees and fixed interest rates, I guess I should say, and security offerings with those cards. But, you know, I think the biggest piece of all is just to find a way to be able to give back. So every time somebody opens one of those cards, we give $5 back to the Brewers Guild.
That's really cool. That's awesome. And those are really neat branded cards. Like, they actually have the Colorado State of Craft Beer logo on the card. And same with the Pink Boot Society, correct?
Yeah. The Pink Boot Society was another, it was another great collaboration. And what I really liked about the Pink Boot Society was we were able to meet with the board of directors, and in the middle of just maybe 10 minutes of speaking to them, there were tears, there were hugs, just being able to have access to credit. And, you know, I was looking, you know, what century are we in? But it is true, you know, sometimes credit doesn't come by easy, and we were trying to find a way to be able to give back and help folks. So the Pink Boots Society has been another great partnership.
Really,
and
awesome.
I love to wear some pink boots every now and again.
Now, for those who maybe haven't been listening closely or haven't been following along the way, you know, we have a lot of people within the beer industry who listen to the Porchcast and also read porchdrinking.com. Remind our listeners, what services do you all offer to breweries that are looking to scale up and grow? You know, we have a lot of that happening, in, as we talked about in the first hour. What services does OnTap Credit Union offer to those growing breweries?
Tristan, it's really crafting a financial solution that really makes sense to the brewer. So it could be anywhere from personal finances all the way up to starting the brewery from ground up. You know, there's not too many situations where we have to just turn away. There are times where we say, you know, now might not be the best time. I think one of the most rewarding transactions that we've recently handled was one of our breweries were trying to get out of a relationship with another financial institution for some really good reasons. We weren't able to make the whole thing happen, but we were able to really help them out and do a phased approach on how they would walk away and get themselves into a better situation.
Really cool.
So anywhere from, you know, lines of credit cards, equipment loans, autos, real estate, and he's really soup to nuts.
Yeah, he runs the gamut. Now, it's really interesting you brought up the personal finances aspect, because I know that one of the things that we partnered with you guys on a little bit this year was teaming up with some breweries to make sure that their employees understood that they could turn to you all for financial planning as well, because I think that's something that the industry doesn't necessarily talk about that often or talk about as much as it needs to be talked about. You know, we have a lot of people who work in the service industry, front of house for breweries, and they maybe have never been exposed to financial planning before. You all do a really great job of education, and that's free. You know, you don't necessarily have to be, your brewery doesn't necessarily have to be an OnTap Credit Union member to utilize those services. And it was really cool to see you all come out meeting with breweries and talking to a lot of their employees. To offer them advice in terms of
we really
finance.
Pride ourselves on our advocacy. That's the differentiation, and that really comes from staff. staff take pride in what they do every day and really want to help people. So it's just, it's really neat to bounce out of bed every day and just enjoy people helping people.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much. Once again, for those who are looking to find out a little bit more, be sure to visit ontapcu.org. Once again, that's ontapcu.org. Tracy Wilcox, thank you so much.
Cheers. Thank you.
We're going to move right along and be rejoined by Shawnee Adelson, president of the Colorado Brewers Guild. Shawnee, it's been a big year for you and the Guild as well. A lot of change. Steve Kurowski leaving at the beginning of the year, and then you kind of transitioning along the way. Tell us a little bit about that transition and what kind of you all have been working on over the past couple months.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Tristan. It has been a big year of transition for the Guild, especially on the staffing side of things. Steve Kurowski was with us for almost 9 years and was really a voice and a face of Colorado craft beer. And we owe a lot to him in terms of where the Guild is these days. But, you know, everybody has a point where they want to do something different, and he's now at Law's Whiskey, still slinging the marketing plan and doing that.
But still involved with really great beverages.
Still really great beverages. I sampled some of those on Saturday night with him. But you know, we hired a new person, Tristan. He came from
me?
Congratulations.
Sorry, I guess I should clarify, because everybody asks me if we hired you, but no, Tristan Smid, he came from the Indiana Guild, so he has background in working for guilds, and we're super excited to have him on board as our marketing and events manager. And then I was promoted this year to executive director just a few months ago.
Cheers and congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I've been working with the Guild for over 4 years now, and really excited to be at the executive director role, and excited to continue to represent all of our members and promoting Colorado craft beer.
Now, what's first and foremost, congratulations. We're very, very stoked about this. We've been working with you for a number of years, and it is a well-deserved honor, and we're really pumped to see you elevated to the executive director role. Also really excited to welcome Tristan Schmidt to the team. I had met him through GABF a couple years ago, so really cool to see him move out here and take that role full steam ahead, and we, you know, we're really pumped for Steve as well. But now in kind of your transition as the executive director, what's been the biggest kind of focus for you all moving into the next year?
There's a lot that we're working on, but one of the biggest things that we'll be looking at in 2020 is that it'll be our 25th anniversary of the Colorado Brewers Guild. Wow. Which is pretty amazing to be a guild that's been around for 25 years. We're neck and neck with California and Oregon as the oldest guilds. Wow. In the country. So
awesome.
That's a pretty big deal for us. So we'll be celebrating that throughout the year, and we hope that everybody celebrates with us, just that we've been able to be successful in supporting all of our breweries for that many years.
Now, I know this past year was kind of a big changing of the guard in terms of the grocery store initiative finally coming into enactment. What's the next big challenge for Colorado? Is there another big initiative that you all feel is something that we need to tackle head on?
That's a good question. You know, we never know. But I would say that grocery stores are not going away, so we may see that there will be a push for wine and spirits in grocery stores, which can change the game for everybody. Another piece of that we're always aware of is that tap rooms continue to expand, and we want to make sure that tap rooms still exist. And so we're here to protect the laws that are in place to make sure that our beers are out there and consumers can have access to them.
Really cool. Now, it's been really neat to see the Guild kind of grow over the years in terms of adding more educational opportunities. I think we brought up the Colorado Summit, the Brewer Summit earlier in the conversation. Tell us a little bit about how education has evolved over the years for you guys, because it's very clear that that's been one of the kind of pinnacle keystone kind of focus areas for the Guild.
That's also a good question, and I'm glad that you brought it up. So earlier this year, right after I was hired on, we reviewed our mission statement, and the Guild revisited that, and we updated it to make sure that we were including everything that we're working on, and it represented us well. So our mission is to promote, protect, and propel Colorado craft breweries. And with that, the promotion side of things, I think that's pretty obvious. The State of Craft Beer brand, which we talked about with Tracy and the credit card, and really getting that out there, as well as all of our events and marketing that we do. The protection side of things is really our advocacy and what we do at the state capitol to make sure that we're protecting the laws that are favorable for brewers and making sure that they're successful. But that propel side is really that education piece that we've jumped into in the last couple years. So this was our third annual Colorado Craft Brewers Summit. We had, I think, over 300 people there attending and provided seminars on everything from don't grow yourself broke from OnTap Credit Union up to making sure that you're taking care of your employees and their mental health to talking about the Liquor Enforcement Division's rules and making sure that you're complying to them. So all across the board, and then, you know, there's technical pieces to that too. So we're trying to provide more and more education, and we do that in various different ways, but it is really important to make sure that all of our members have as much access to education in the business development side of things, as well as the technical brewing. I think a lot of people think it's all about technical brewing, but to be able to be a successful business, you have to know how to find financing, and you have to know all of the pieces in terms of making sure that you have a good business plan, and being successful in the long term is not only about making good beer.
Absolutely. You know, that's definitely been a theme for breweries all across the country for the past 5 years now. It's not, you know, that barrier of entry is making great beer, but now it's, you know, how do you market? How do you plan for your business as a whole? How do you diversify? We're really starting to see that come into play now. In terms of the general state of craft beer in Colorado, is there any trend or anything in terms of just bold steps that are being taken by breweries right now that is really catching your eye and something that you might be really excited about for the Colorado craft beer scene?
One thing that I wanted to bring up earlier when you asked about events that I've been to that really blew my mind this year was the grand opening of Raices Brewing in Denver. Mm-hmm. And they're a very multicultural brewery, and that is their approach, is bringing people together, and it's cultural. It's not just about beer. And going to that grand opening was pretty eye-opening for me. And I think we've all in this room have been to a lot of breweries, and there's, you know, it's hard to impress us or make sure that
it can feel very routine.
Lasting impression. And going into that, I felt like, wow, this is not a traditional brewery scene. Mm-hmm. And they were creating something that I have never seen in craft beer anywhere across the country. And I think that that's a really amazing skill, but also that the fact that we have people in Denver and in Colorado that want to support a business like that is pretty impressive.
Yeah, we actually got a chance to speak with Jose in the last episode of the Porchcast. We actually snuck one in right before their grand opening, and unfortunately Sammy was out of town for that one, but we were able to speak with Jose and hear a little bit about their story and how kind of community was the first piece of what brought them all together, and wanting to create a sense of community in a place that they didn't realize at the time was going to evolve into a brewery. But really cool to see that that was the kind of approach versus just someone who's like, you know what, I'm going to open up a brewery. And I was like, no, we want to create a place with a sense of community where we can serve, you know, people in the Latino culture, and also, educate people more about Latino culture. So.
Definitely.
Really cool to hear and see what they're doing right now.
Yeah, that neighborhood has a special place in my heart because I used to work for Denver Urban Gardens, and Sun Valley is one of the poorest communities in Denver and also one of the most diverse, and that's where I worked there, was at a community garden with elementary students. And so seeing that there is a place for community gathering in that community and a different venue than a park or whatever is pretty awesome. I was impressed with that.
Really cool. Now, we're going to close out the Porchcast. Real quick, I do want to mention, you know, it's been a really awesome year for the Porchcast in general. We've had the incredible opportunity to interview some really cool guests along the way. Looking back, Ken Grossman, Peter Bukart, Dick Cantwell. It was a really fun year for us, and we're very excited for everyone to join us in the next year. A big thank you to Tracy and Shawnee for joining us in our year-end recap episode. This has been a lot of fun. We're gonna close things out. I'm gonna ask you guys to take a leap real quick and make some bold predictions. Hunter left us his before he left, but his bold prediction was the return of the West Coast IPA. He believes that people are gonna return to that kind of sharp, bitter, kind of tropical West Coast style flavors. But he also, for his second prediction, was that hard seltzer is not going anywhere. So any other bold predictions from you all aside from those two?
I mean, those better be right, because I welcome my West Coast overlords with open arms. All I want, I would like an IPA that strips the enamel off of my teeth. I want it to hurt badly.
Okay.
I do. I'm serious. I miss it's, you know, it sounds so stupid, but like one of the beers that I've been drinking the most this year has been Two Hearted. Like, thank you for bringing Two Hearted to Colorado, because I want that beer all of the time. I love a West Coast IPA. I always have. And yeah, if Colorado breweries can jump back on that wagon. I mean, even like an Odell IPA, like I don't need a lot of them. I just need a couple of them that are good. And seltzers are my white girl fallback. I love them. And I think that lagers aren't going anywhere either.
Yeah.
I think that like maybe, I don't even know if you necessarily need to diversify. But it, you know, with Hunter talking about that upsell pills, if everyone kind of gets on the pills train, It would be a very happy world. I would be more than, I would welcome all of those.
Absolutely. What about Shawnee?
I would say, given what we've seen so far this year, and you know, hard seltzer and everything, and the news of Odell opening up a winery, I think that you're probably going to see a little more of blurring of the lines and what defines a craft brewery. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen that over the years in terms of experimenting with styles and everything, but I think that you're going to see more blurring of the lines. And the Ska Brew Stillery is a perfect example of that, where they're going to have a restaurant there with a distillery and a brew pub. And so, yeah, that blurring of the lines, but that's partially due to the fact that people need to continue to stay relevant.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Tracy, any for you?
Yeah, just craft brewers, big and small, breaking through the noise and to continuing to craft beer that we all love and enjoy. So,
all right. My bold prediction is craft Jello shots.
Is that right?
No, not at all. I'm totally kidding.
Everyone gets a slushy
craft
machine.
Jello shots
and slushy machines.
We're taking it to the next level, folks.
Let's go.
My bold prediction, and I've been harping on this for a little while now, and maybe it's just something that I really hope happens, but table beers, the rise of the table beer, low ABV. I love kind of those with a little bit of Brett to it, nice kind of funk. At like a 3.1% table beer, oh, nothing better.
I would add to that is the smaller packaging formats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Seeing some of the brewers out there that are packaging in 8-ounce cans.
Oh, yes.
I am a big supporter of the smaller format, just because I don't always need a full beer, but I just want...
But I want to drink one.
I want to drink one, but I don't need to be... getting drunk. So
absolutely.
What do you think a year from now we're going to be talking about? Like, what do you think the landscape of the Colorado craft beer scene is going to look like in a year?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
I mean, I just don't, I like, this consolidation is interesting. I think that maybe we haven't reached the maximum, like the event horizon. Yeah, I don't think that we've reached maybe the top like of the bubble, but I don't.
Especially for Colorado, because there haven't been a ton. I mean, Avery, New Belgium, those have been kind of the main, and well, Breckenridge, of course. But I feel like we haven't seen a ton of acquisitions and mergers here.
And then, but even like opening has slowed down too.
Yeah. Jonathan Shikes actually put together a really great post recently talking about kind of what is that magic number of breweries that can that is sustainable here in Colorado, in Denver.
In Denver, yeah.
I think he raises a really good point. It's kind of, over the past year, it's definitely leveled out in terms of both brewery openings and closings, balancing each other out. I think he said around 85?
In Metro Denver, right around there. But I would say, so Bart Watson did a study from the BA, and he showed that where there's more breweries open. Mm. So essentially, like, if there's breweries there, more breweries will open. Yeah, and we're showing that in Colorado, that we have a higher open rate than most other states.
Sure.
And you see that in like California and New York, because there's a culture there. And but also the laws are favorable. Like, there's a reason that people open up breweries here versus Utah.
100%.
But I think also going back to that question is a lot of breweries that close reopen as new breweries. So it's much more of that turnover, like a restaurant.
Interesting. Yeah. We saw that with Blue Tile in Zephyr Brewing. I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden. Lady Justice Brewing, it seems like they're about prime to reopen again, still under the same, you know, brand, but I think they're finding a more sustainable kind of model for them as well too. So,
and it sure is interesting. I don't think that 3 years ago we would be talking about, you know, breweries in Netherlands that are blowing your socks off, or breweries in Windsor that
Greeley.
Like, I know that there's definitely still potential, but it's shifting. It's just changing for sure.
And you know, we haven't even brought up the big news from the past week, where Crickets Dave announced that they were leaving the Source, their Rhino location, closing that taproom down and reopening at their original location out in Sunnyside. So even more kind of shifting of kind of business plans and different business approaches. It's interesting that, you know, for those who have been in the industry, that news probably wasn't a big shocker, because it's something that we've been expecting for a long time, especially after their brew house never really got off the ground in that Rhino location. But, you know, it is cool to see them kind of return to their roots and reopen in their original spot. So, I don't know. I think in terms of your original question, what are we going to be talking about this time next year? I think it's just going to be more in terms of shifting business plans and business models and trying to figure out, you know, I think that the big story, like we mentioned earlier, is people's leases are starting to reach that point. Breweries that opened 5 or 6 years ago, a lot of those agreements are around this time.
For sure.
And so there are going to be some hard decisions to make. And so, you know, we talk about changing business plans. That's a lot of that's going to be shaking out here.
Absolutely.
In the next few months.
So. And maintaining relevancy is just so hypercritical in a market that is educated and is craving what's new and shiny every single day.
Yeah. Well, once again, if you're in need of financing for some of those decisions, turn to our friends at OnTap Credit Union. A big thank you once again, Tracy, for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much.
We're very excited to have you guys as our partners. And Shawnee, a big thank you to you as well. We're pumped for all that you're doing for the Colorado craft beer scene, and look forward to more in your big 25th anniversary year for the Colorado Brewers Guild. Big thank you to Sammy Hartman for joining us once again, co-host. We'll be back for more action in 2020. I'm going to be seeing one of our original co-hosts, Jesse Brookstein, coming back for his engagement party in the next week. So hopefully we can maybe sneak a little soundbite from him. But very pumped to see our buddy as well. And a big thank you to all of our listeners. Be sure to join us once again in 2020 and enjoy the rest of your year this year. Happy holidays from all of us at the Porchcast, and thanks for listening. We'll check you later.
Adios.
Cheers.
Like what you're listening to? Be sure to follow the Porchcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and whatever listening devices you may follow. You can also follow Porch Drinking on Twitter and Instagram at @porchdrinkingco.